1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
News, I'm Tom Rivers. NATO defense ministers have been meeting in Brussels this morning. Before the sit-down, Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg stressing the importance of continued support for Ukraine.
The more ground Ukraine is able to gain through this counteroffensive, the stronger their hand will be at the negotiating table.
Word out of Colorado Springs that the accused gunman in the Club Q massacre last year is expected to take a plea deal to murder and hate crime charges that would ensure at least a life sentence. Anderson Lee Aldrich charged with fatally shooting 5 and wounding 17. The Pacific Maritime Association has announced it's reached a tentative agreement with the union representing workers at all 29 West Coast ports. It's a 6-year deal, but no other details. In a statement, President Biden congratulating both sides, declaring collective bargaining works. This is ABC News. Smoke from Canadian wildfires raising pollution in parts of Minnesota to record levels. The European Union turning its sights on AI.
Right now, Google, Microsoft, and other tech firms offer artificial intelligence chatbots that can imitate human writing. And now European Union lawmakers want to look at how they do that. The EU passing a draft law called the AI Act. If it goes into effect, it would force tech companies working on artificial intelligence programs to disclose what material is used to train those bots. The concern is that some of that material may be copyrighted. Full version of the AI Act is expected to be voted on later this year. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Nevada State Police say advances in DNA testing has identified Florence Charleston, whose badly decomposed remains were found in a garment bag in 1978. How she wound up in a shallow grave more than 500 miles from her home in Portland, Oregon, is still a mystery. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top 5 on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894.
war in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's FOGO. 608-949-8989.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer this hour, Evan Preston. It is Wednesday, June 14th, 2023. Welcome into hour number two. It's like a little bit of a relay race. My godson used to run the 400. Mr. Zomers did the first leg of the race, handed off the baton, and we have Mr. Preston in for hour number two. How are you, sir?
Seamless, my friend.
Seamless. Absolutely great. Thank you, Evan. We appreciate you being here today, and welcome everyone in for hour number two as well. Thank goodness, by the way, that Mr. Zomers was here, because I had such a great time in hour number one with Trigvi Olsen that I got done. And I'm like, oh, great, great show. And I started cleaning up. And
see you guys tomorrow.
Wait, Todd, we have one more hour. I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious, yes. It's been a couple of days, let me tell you. We can't go anywhere because we have a big guest coming up at the bottom of this hour. Cannot wait to talk to him at 2:30. Rob Thomas, who is the entertainment editor at the Capital Times here in Madison, Wisconsin. Going to be talking to him a little bit about the entertainment scene here in South Central Wisconsin, across the state of Wisconsin. And what is it like to interview some of these, you know, bigger name guests that roll into town, whether they come to the Overture Center or the Dane County Coliseum, the Lion Energy Center, or maybe down at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee. When a big guest comes into town and you interview people in the entertainment industry, what is it like? We'll see what his road has been to this point. Rob Thomas from the Capital Times at 2:30. This afternoon, talking to you this half hour, for those listening, those watching us on the stream on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and wherever else we're going out to, you can see I have a flag over my right shoulder, a United States of America flag. It is Flag Day today, June 14th, Flag Day across the, exactly, Evan's giving us a salute there. And there's a reason I've got this up, because I'm a patriotic dude. And I don't believe that the flag should be used for partisan purposes. And over the last few years, the Trumpsters, the MAGA folks, have tried to co-opt the American flag as some sign of support for Trump or conservatives or MAGA or whoever you want to say. And it's just not the case. And I think we as Americans need to retake our flag. I shouldn't say it that way. That we should all come together and agree that the United States flag is a unifying symbol. It should not be a partisan symbol. What do you think? Do you fly the American flag at your house? Do you put it outside, like on your step? Are you somebody who you know puts a flag out just on Flag Day, or do you put it out on all federal holidays? 844-967-2789. Welcome your calls. 844-967-2789. 2789. Make it easy for you. 844-96-PARTY. P-A-R-T-Y. Do you put out the American flag? Do you hold it dear to you? Do you put it out as a unifying symbol? Phones are ringing. We'll take your call in just a moment. Evan will screen it off the air. Then he'll let me know and we'll put you on the air. Do you fly the American flag? 844-6967-2789. 844-967-2789. A crack staff put together some details for us. Flag Day began as an idea of a public school teacher. Did you know that? The year was 1885. The teacher, Bernard Segrand, or Segrand. And guess where it was at? Here in Wisconsin, a place called Waubeka. W-A-U-B-E-K-A. Waubeka, Wisconsin. An unincorporated place along the Milwaukee River in Ozaukee County, north of Port Washington. Segrand started by having his students write essays on the flag's meaning. But from the start, his dream was for June 14th to become a day of the whole country, for the whole country, to celebrate and reflect the meaning of the majesty of Old Glory. He was rewarded after only three decades when in 1916, President Woodrow Wilson declared June 14th as National Flag Day. In 1949, President Truman signed an act of Congress recognizing Flag Day and encouraging Americans to celebrate it. Right here in Wisconsin. Think about that. Let's go to the phones. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Jack in Caledonia. Jack, thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon. What say you, Jack?
Hey, good day. Yep. Fly your flag, fly the American flag every day. My question to you, though, is you use the word American. What is your definition of an American?
Well, geographically or in the ideological sense?
Oh, being an American.
To me, being an American is being a part of a group of folks who don't always agree or look like me, but we're unified in the ideal of freedom and democracy, and that we can each respect each other and live a happy life together.
Okay, you understand that our country is not a democracy.
It's a democratic republic.
It's a republic.
Yes.
Okay. Also, the American being an American is that we have an American dream, and what's the American dream? Whatever the individual chooses it to be. Okay, that they have the freedom, without government intervention, to do what they want to do with their life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And right now, we have a president that is trying to control every aspect of your life. They're going to tell you what type of car to use, what type of, whether you can have a gas appliance or not. They're going to talk about the air quality. They're going to try to control all these things, okay? And we already have rules for the air, okay? The EPA is already taking care of this, all right? Mm-hmm. The car industry, is going to be devastated, okay? If they start making EVs, people aren't going to be able to afford to buy them, for one thing.
Sure, I understand.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top five on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin
or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies today with a high of 62. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, 51. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs around 72. Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 70s. Once again, highs reach 62 today. Lows level off around 51 tonight. Highs reach 72 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 54.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
Center in our nation's capital because it's making room for a pride flag or a transgender flag. That may be what you wanted to open this discussion with, because that's appalling. I don't agree with you about how that the American flag has been hijacked by a MAGA or a Republican or even conservative group. I feel everyone has the right to fly the American flag as long as your motivation is that you're patriot and you're proud of your country. There's a lot of stuff going on these days that aren't making me as proud of my country that I'd like to be, i.e. the American flag hanging below a pride flag or off to the side with it being central. That is unacceptable.
I don't know any place to where a pride flag is flying above the American flag in a government institution.
Because I think I read something about it just having happened at the Pride Party at the White House here a couple days ago.
It was hanging off of a balcony off of the middle of a balcony, but it was not at the top of the building on the official flagpole.
Okay, well, if you're going to kneel in front of our flag for a national anthem, and that choice is supported by the left, I have a problem with that.
I don't personally believe in kneeling for the national anthem. I stand and take off my hat and put it over my heart. That's what I do. But I think, can I ask you the same question I asked Jack? I have no problem with a pride flag as a gay guy myself. But do you agree? We might disagree on that. That's fine. But do you feel, as an American, I'm an American, do you feel that the American flag represents all of us and should be flown by all of us?
Americans?
It's not that hard to find common ground. Bill, I appreciate you. And Racine, have a great day. Have a great meeting down there. Thank you so much. Let's go to Mark in the sack, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Mark in the sack, what say you?
Well, I was very uncomfortable when I remember the image of Donald Trump fondling the American flag, rubbing up against it, and just kind of... that was a kind of violation of the flag code. Apparently, that, as I understand it, that the flag is not supposed to be printed on T-shirts and on shirts and on everything else, and it's supposed to be not unadorned by an image of Donald Trump sitting on the American flag. That I saw a picture of that today. That, and yes, the American flag under the flag code is supposed to be at the top of the flagpole, above the state flag or whatever flag you want to fly.
Mm-hmm.
That it is but the whole that part of being American is recognition that there are some people that consider, that being required, forced to say the Pledge of Allegiance or to salute the flag is idolatry. I mean, that under strict translation of the Bible, that's what some people actually assume. I think the Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses both, not the Mormons, the Amish and the Jehovah Witnesses both are excused from that. I can remember in school that it's a couple of Jehovah Witness kids.
Well, Mark, I think you bring. I want to cut you off. I just want to go back because I think you make a great point. I think that the MAGA people, to our earlier caller's point, one of the reasons I make this assertion that the MAGA Republicans have tried to co-opt the flag is that they're putting it all over themselves, right? I mean, they're putting it on their clothes. And you're 100% right. They do the whole, back the badge thing, and they use the American flag, and they bastardize it, and they put it blue and black and a blue stripe across the middle. That is 100% against the U.S. code of how to display and respect the United States of American flag.
Yeah, it's and I think that black version of the American flag. Isn't that emblematic of a belief that you don't really believe in liberty and justice for all? Your support of Donald Trump at any cost. That
I don't know. I don't want to say something. I'm not sure if that may be the case. I don't have any information on that. But I think
I'm not sure of it either.
But I think you make a great point that all of us should fly. I mean, I guess I don't want to put words in your mouth. Do you believe? I'll ask the same thing to you as I've asked other callers. Do you believe that regardless of our party affiliation, our political affiliation, whom we choose to vote for, do you believe that the American flag represents all Americans and all Americans should fly it? Hello, Mark. Go ahead.
One nation.
You cut out there. Go ahead, Mark.
It's certainly supposed to. My father always, who served this country as what actually became SAC. He served this country during the Korean War. And during the Air Force prior to SAC, what became SAC, Strategic Air Command. But he always took exception to adding "under God" to the Pledge of Allegiance. He thought that was inappropriate. As a kid who was brought up, he was brought up Catholic, very Catholic, and he thought that was a violation of what should have been part of the Establishment Clause. Establishment religion and.
That's his right. I don't personally have a problem with that. I'm fine with keeping under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. I because it's not a particular religion. It's just the general aspect of God. So me myself, I support the under God clause in the Pledge of Allegiance. But I think I appreciate you calling in, Mark. As always, we appreciate your listenership out there in the SAC.
And
it's great to hear people from all sides saying that the flag, in fact, the U.S. flag can represent all of us. 844-967-2789. I'll give your call. Would love to hear, do you fly the American flag? And do you believe that it represents all Americans, regardless of political affiliation? 844-967-2789. Make it easy for you. That's 844-96-PARTY. Right here in the capital city, Madison. Adam, what say you, sir?
Hi. Thanks for having me. You guys just touched on what I was calling about, which is, some people want to complain about the pride flag. I myself, gay man myself, and they're flying this I don't know what the flag even originated from, but it's basically defacing the American flag. As far as the LGBTQ community, we didn't misrepresent our American flag. We created our own, and yes, it's being flown at the state capitol, and thanks to Governor Evers, it's being flown in other places as well. But going back to the point that sounds like you guys have just discussed, is that they're flying a flag that's pretty much like a disaster to our American flag. It's got the wrong colors and everything.
Yeah.
And I just find it ironic that people are getting upset that they're flying the pride flag when there's this other flag that they're flying around. And then the fact that they're turning these, obviously the MAGA Republicans, I was following one today that had a big Trump flag that said Trump won. And I was just like, what the heck is going on?
So, I think you make a great point.
Yes, it's wonderful. Go ahead.
I think you make a great point. Those of us in the gay community that have a pride flag or whatever, I don't see an iteration of that being the red, white, and blue American flag. And again, this is an example of misinformation that the former caller had. No, the White House did not put the pride flag above the United States flag. It hung on the balcony of the Capitol. I'm thankful that it is because it signifies inclusion for all Americans. But the U.S. flag flew at the top of the mast, at the top of the White House, as it should, as it does, incidentally, at the Wisconsin State Capitol. The American flag flies above all other flags, period. And I'll ask you the same, I guess we got other callers we've got to go to, but Adam, do you believe that the American flag represents all of us, regardless of party affiliation, and do you believe that we should all fly it?
Of course. And I can definitely stand by that. And I honestly don't know. I feel like the pride flag's been around for a while, and I feel like it's just become an issue.
Yeah.
You know, like, doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your listenership, Adam and Madison. Thank you so much. Let's go to Richland Center, the hometown now. Robert in Richland Center, what say you, sir?
Well, hi. I was just making a brief comment. You know, I think that it's very interesting that in the Trump era, there were lots and lots of Trump flags around. Mm-hmm. So not Trump signs, not campaign signs, but Trump flags. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned earlier, you know, you go to some other places, you know, I don't remember seeing Biden flags or Obama flags or Bush flags or Reagan flags.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there is sort of a different kind of a mindset, I think, in this current political climate with the people that are supporting Donald Trump.
I totally agree with you, Robert. I couldn't. And again, it seems, you know, it seems awfully authoritarianism bordering on fascism to have flags of individual people and candidates instead of a unifying American flag. It bothers me. It really does. Appreciate your call, Robert. Thank you so much for listening out there. WRCE in Richland Center, back in the hometown. Keep it in Southwest Wisconsin. If you'd like to call us, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We go to Sauk County. And Tom, in Sauk County, what say you?
Hi, Todd. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Love to hear from you.
I'm flying a big flag today. I'm real proud of it. It happens to be the flag that draped the coffin of my grandfather, who was a colonel in the United States Army. And I'm proud of the flag, but I also don't think it's the essence of our nation. There was a big thing, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, for a few years, lawsuits over people burning the flag as a protest. And, you know, people really upset about that as if it was the essence of our country. And I just couldn't see that because to me, it's the Constitution. It's the ideas that are in a document.
Mm-hmm.
And when anyone treads on that, that's what I can't hold with.
Right.
So
I agree with you. I'm glad you brought this up because, yeah, I remember that when it was, you know, they're asking presidential candidates, do you support a constitutional amendment on flag burning? And I remember at the time, there were a lot of folks in the military that said, look, I fight for the flag. I respect the flag. But look, I mean, if you want to desecrate it, that's on you. You know, I'm out there fighting for something bigger than a piece of material. I'm fighting for freedom and democracy.
Precisely. Thanks for taking my call.
Great call, Tom. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate you out there in Sauk County and being a listener. Appreciate all of you as well. Great topic, Flag Day. And get this, Stony Hill School, the one-room school where Flag Day was born here in Wisconsin, it still stands in the town of Fredonia in Ahwatukee County and is on the National Register of Historic Places. So take a little time. Take a trip this summer. Get some ice cream. Go to Ahwatukee County and go to the town of Fredonia and check out the Stony Hill School where Flag Day was first born. Now, see, it isn't that hard, E. I mean, we had a bunch of callers from different political spectrums, and guess what? We came to the agreement that the American flag could actually represent us all. It ain't that hard.
Even from a cynical angle.
Right?
Leave me alone.
Right?
You know, the flag represents just being able to live your life, even if you don't agree, which, you know, there's some irony in there, I'm sure, if you dig down.
No, I mean, but this half hour was fantastic because it represents the kind of dialogue that we should have across this state. We could listen to someone. They're going to disagree with us. But nobody today was, I would say, overly disrespectful. And we could agree to disagree, but we're still all Americans. We're still all Wisconsinites. And you know what? We all love to be entertained. We'll talk about that next segment. Rob Thomas, entertainment editor of the Capital Times here in studio next. Stay with us. You're not going to want to miss it. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
this summer. 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. NATO defense ministers have been meeting in Brussels this morning before the sit-down. Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg stressing the importance of continued support for Ukraine.
The more ground Ukraine is able to gain through this counteroffensive, the stronger their hand will be at the negotiating table.
Word out of Colorado Springs that the accused gunman in the Club Q massacre last year expected to take a plea deal to murder and hate crime charges that would ensure at least a life sentence. Anderson Lee Aldrich charged with fatally shooting 5 and wounding 17. The Pacific Maritime Association has announced it's reached a tentative agreement with the union representing workers at all 29 West Coast ports. It's a 6-year deal, but no other details. In a statement, President Biden congratulating both sides, declaring collective bargaining works. This is ABC News.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant, 1894 in the Walpole Pawn area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, this is the Todd Alba Show. Welcome back in. It is now 2:33 to be precise on the time and temperature sign. Glad you're along with us on this Wednesday, June 14th, 2023, Flag Day. If you're watching on the Zoomcast or Twitter or Facebook or YouTube, wherever we're zooming out of, have the American flag over my right shoulder here. Great last half hour. All kinds of people across the state. People who disagree on both sides. We can agree that the flag should represent all of us and be flown by all of us and remember those men and women who put on the uniform for us across the country. We also want to remember the press, the entertainment press, because too often we, especially in this business, you talk about news all the time, and news is important, but there's also entertainment news, and we are pleased to have our next guest here with us for the next 50 minutes or so, 25 minutes or so. Rob's like, what the heck? Rob Thomas, who is the entertainment editor here in Madison at the Capital Times. Rob, thank you so much for being with us in person.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's great to have you here. You have been with the Capital Times since 1999. Tell folks who are maybe in different parts of the state where you're from originally and kind of how you got into the news business.
Sure. So it's a long route, but I was born in Calgary, Canada. And I was in college, I was an English major. Mm-hmm. And then around senior year, I thought to myself, I should probably make some money when I get out of college. So I went down to the local, to our college paper in Fort Collins, Colorado, and found that I liked the reporting as much as I liked the writing. I liked being able to call people and say, I have a question about this, and I'm from the Collegian, and they would answer it.
Yeah.
And ever since then, my first decade, I was more like a hard news reporter, like you said, covering politics and crime in suburban Chicago. But I would always, like, at the end of my shift, would go down to Chicago and review a play or a concert or something like that. That was just kind of the thing I loved to do. And I got enough experience at that the Cap Times was looking for a pop culture writer way back in 1999. In the before times when we had one computer in the newsroom hooked up to the internet, and because they worried that if we were on the internet too much, we wouldn't do our jobs.
Right.
And of course now it's all changed and we're on the internet all the time. And I've been really lucky to be at the Cap Times. I love it. And it's a place that has evolved and has a great mission, and we've got a great staff, and I'm just very lucky to still be in journalism doing what I love.
I love that story because I was working for former Congressman Scott Klug in 1998, and we had one computer in the office where you could go to Netscape.
Yeah.
And that was like a big deal to do a search on Netscape. You know,
We had to sign up on a sheet to use it because it was so exciting. We couldn't be on it too long, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So what is it from a reporting standpoint, being in a newsroom like that, since really the inception of the internet, how have you seen reporting change because of the internet and the access to information?
Well, the big thing obviously is the deadlines. At Cap Times, when I started, was an afternoon paper. Mm-hmm. So in the morning, you know, everybody was trying to hit that 10:30 a.m. deadline so the papers could be on the street by, I think it was 12, 1 p.m. We had a couple of editions, as I recall. Now it just never stops. Now it's like we're thinking about first thing in the morning, but all throughout the day and at night. And we still have a weekly print edition for the Cap Times where we sort of put our best stuff. But we're always thinking and always updating stories and following up. And, you know, you don't have quite the terror of print of like, you know, like any reporter who does print knows the feeling of waking up at midnight and like, oh, shoot, did I write what I thought I did? Or did I get that name right? So you don't have that anymore, at least because you can always fix it online.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of a never-ending thing. But it's been, I mean, like I said, say to people, like, I've been at the Cap Times for 24 years, and I just stayed put in, like, the business chains around me constantly every 2 years. So it feels like I've moved to all these different places. But the mission of the Cap Times has stayed the same for great journalism, and I'm really happy to be part of it.
I have the online edition up right now on my computer. It's at Cap Times, at CAPtimes.com.
Yep.
Can find all the great work of Robin and staff on the entertainment section. Big headline today, Tootsie. Musical Overture Hall is stuffed full of jokes. Tootsie is here in town in Madison. I want to ask you, because I like to write. I'm not a great writer, but I love to write. And I really love great writing.
Yeah.
I don't care whether it's in the newspaper or an online format, a movie, a play, you know, music. I just appreciate really great writing. Has it changed your, as a reporter, as a writer, since you had to go to internet and have these pressure deadlines? I mean, really, the thing is never, quote unquote, put to bed, really, on the
right.
online edition. Do you feel it affects your writing or some of your other people you work with? Did you go away thinking, man, I wish I had two more hours. It could have been better. Does that frustrate you?
No, because you just learn. I mean, it's easier to write on deadline than it is to write something that's due in a week. I agree. You're just sort of trained to be like, just focus when that's done and needs to be done in 60 minutes or less. Right. It's when it's a week or two away that you have all this time to sort of plan and think about how you want to do that. You end up sort of like, kind of grinding your gears, trying to figure it out. But that reporter instinct is just like, okay, I got to go. And you just go. And so,
Isn't that so funny?
Yeah.
Because when I worked at the Capitol and you know, my boss would say, that's due tomorrow. Haven't you started that? And I'm like, I look and read and organize in my head, and then I'll sit down and write it in 90 minutes or 2 hours.
Right. Yeah, there's the...
People don't get that.
No, there's the reporter quote, if I had more time, I would have made it shorter. Because, right? So, like, if you write, you know, if you have more time, you end up tightening it up and stuff. But, yeah, I still get a real rush out of that about writing quickly. And
it is, right? It's for people who haven't done it, it's an adrenaline rush. Yeah.
And then, of course, with the Cap Times on the other side, we have these massive cover stories that are 3,000 words that a lot of... you know, one or two reporters will do, but then they have editors and designers and stuff. And that's a sort of a different kind of rush to sort of put together a big magazine profile and have it come off really well.
Yeah. In your years interviewing people that have come through Madison and big names, different entertainment, a couple of memorable interviews that stick out, either good or bad?
The one that always sticks out is B.B. King, because I do not know how I got to interview him, but he played at... I think it was still the Overture Center. Maybe it was Capitol Theater back then.
Yeah.
And the promoter was like, do you want to interview B.B. King? And I was like, well, of course I do. And right. He didn't seem to really do interviews. Was super nice, super friendly, super thoughtful. And it was one of the things where I was like, is this really happening? Am I really talking? I mean you talk living legend. And that was fantastic. Robert Redford, the Sundance Cinemas opened here in Madison, and he was doing press, and I got like 10 minutes with him on the phone, but I still remember like every minute of that and how great that was. And, but you know, just as memorable as like, you know, all the different people in Madison, all the artists and writers and bands and local movie makers and things like that. I really enjoy that, talking to people, who are just starting out and really excited about their first project or their second project. And sometimes they end up going and becoming national figures. And that's always really fun too.
When you interview a big name like B.B. King or Robert Redford, do you strive to, maybe struggle is a bad word, but do you go over in your head like, I want to think of something original, I want to think of something cool, or do you just go like the first thing that pops into your head?
Well, I usually write a list of questions, and I usually think of the question they're probably asked all the time and then cross that one out.
Yeah. What's Jane Fonda like?
Exactly. Maybe I should have asked him that now that I think about it, yeah. But you know, as much as possible, I wanted to try and be like a conversation, like we're having, you know, rather than just like, okay, question number six, da 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 da.
Yeah.
And you know, some people don't like that. Some people would rather just, you know, have the questions and answers. But I think a lot of really like that. You know, they like somebody who is related to them on a personal, human level.
Yeah.
And you get more interesting comments and stories out of it.
That's the point, right? I mean, our mutual friend Chris Pauls, who serves as an executive producer on this show. You know, we talked about this when he came on board. There, I have no prepared, you know, notes in front of me, for better or worse.
Right.
You know, sure. I mean, if you're going to have a certain guest, you're going to do research and you might jot down a couple of things. But I don't like a list of questions, and neither do I like a pre-interview.
Right. I like to have it, but then not refer to it. But just more like I know what's there.
Yeah. Now, I think it just makes it more original. And sometimes the thing that you never thought that you would talk about is a tangent, and that ends up being the coolest thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because it's something that another interviewer wouldn't have thought of and made question number six, but you just kind of went down that rabbit hole with them, and they were happy to go there because nobody had asked them that before, right? Yeah.
And you're, since 1999, you cover Madison predominantly or the Cap Times, but I mean, you have your finger on the pulse of entertainment across the state of Wisconsin. What do you think is the biggest change in entertainment since 1999? Are there fewer live acts? What are the biggest changes that you've seen, maybe?
I think there's so much more. I mean, certainly in Madison when I started, you know, the concert calendar was very tied to the students. That it was, you know, this was sort of the dead time where there were East Side festivals. There were maybe one or two acts that would appeal to the baby boomers. Otherwise, it was dead. And now I think people are touring a lot more, in part because the music business, you don't make as much money off CDs and stuff. So everybody's got, you know, the big heavyweight bands are mm-hmm. going out on tour. Mm-hmm. And Madison now has, you know, a year round, very young, very affluent bass that will go out and see them. So, yeah. you know, like Weezer is playing tonight at Bree Stevens Field here in Madison.
Well, I did not know that. Yeah. Our Mr. Zommer is a big Weezer fan. He's gone right now, but yeah.
Yeah. So, and that would never have happened 20 years ago. I think they would. Yeah. So, you know, for me, that's a great challenge. It's like there's always so much stuff happening and happening all over the place just because, you know, there are all these communities like Eau Claire and Appleton. They're just exploding with creativity and a lot of great local scenes, local music scenes, local art scenes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the great challenge is trying to keep on top of all of it.
And here in Madison, due to the largely to the Faucis here in Madison, the Overture Center, I think it was a game changer bringing a venue like that to Madison. Now I'm going to bring it up, but I'm going to sound like an idiot. Is it the Weimer Center up in Green Bay or the Widener Center at UWGB? I think they have a big venue up there for entertainment as well. And, you know, acts like the Lion King that I just went and saw with my mom here three or four weeks ago was fantastic. A Broadway touring Broadway national production would have never come to Madison, would had never come to Green Bay if these facilities hadn't been built.
Well, they simply could not have come. They're too big to have played like the Madison Civic Center or whatever. And those theaters were designed to bring those things in. Lion King was here like 3 weeks or something like that. And that was probably the fifth time it was here. And you know, the place was packed. And it really raises the level of what you get to see here.
Best act you've seen in person, not even as a reporter, but just I don't have to say the best one. I'll give you three, the top three or whatever, just that you thought, wow, that was an experience.
Well, the one that sticks in my mind recently is the musician Feist. I don't know if you know her.
No,
she's famous for the Apple ad about 20 years ago, 1, 2, 3, 4. Earworm. Mm-hmm. And she was at the Sylvie, which is another great theater.
Great place.
And also designed to bring in some of these bigger acts.
Camp was here recently. Yeah. Not too long. Great band. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But designed to bring in bands who, you know, before that we just had sort of these older theaters like the Barrymore and Orpheum, mm-hmm. which I love, which are mm-hmm. great, but they're not designed for these acts. And Feist did the show where she was half on stage and half on this tiny little round stage in the middle of the crowd and would go back and forth. And it was just so cool. It was just like somebody thinking of something different, a different way to do a concert, which leads me to another big one, which was when David Byrne came to the Orpheum a few years ago of Talking Heads. Mm-hmm. And he did an early version of what became American Utopia, which was a big Broadway or off-Broadway hit. I can't remember. Where, you know, there's an HBO documentary and, you know, but it was just a completely different way to see a concert. Probably because I reviewed so many shows.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it when somebody does something different besides, you know, the usual concert.
Back in 2006, I think it was, I saw Tony Bennett at the Overture Center and I got last minute tickets. And it was just by the grace of God or fate or the universe. I sat like in row 5 of the Overture and orchestra. And that guy at one point had a string bass, a drummer, and a piano player. He said, "Guys, take 5." And he stood there at, you know, center stage, and he just sang. And it sounded exactly like every vinyl or CD I ever heard.
You know, I almost interviewed him.
Really?
It was set up, and, you know, this is when he was having health issues. And then they were like, he can't do it. And obviously, I got really close to interviewing him, which would have been great.
One of the greats of all time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think about, I don't know if you were in town for the Madison Blues Festival, but that was Jeff Beck just passed away recently. Yeah. You know, you saw so many just iconic acts one after the other, something like that.
Stay with us. We have our wonderful guest, Rob Thomas. He is the entertainment editor at the Capital Times here in Madison. Talk more with him after this. Stay with us now. This is the Tom Oswalt Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies today with a high of 62. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, 51. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs around 72. Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 70s. Once again, highs reach 62 today. Lows level off around 51 tonight. Highs reach 72 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 53.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
I'm working.
Oh yeah, fantastic! That was the magic touch.
That's it.
Your
just
voice.
Need my voice to
get
things rolling.
You're like a Disney prince. All just your voice just changes things. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show. We appreciate you on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes. Make it 9 before the hour of 3 o'clock. At the top of the hour, our friend and colleague Matt Flynn. Now, Matt Flynn Direct will be in after the news. Great program ahead. You do not want to miss it. Right now, our guest is Rob Thomas, who is equally great and the entertainment editor. At the Capital Times here in Madison, talking about entertainment around the state, but here in Madison in particular. One of Wisconsin's favorite entertainment sons, who is from where my sister lives, up in Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley. Who's coming to town?
Bon Iver is coming in August to Bree Stevens Field. It's been a while. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I was thinking it's sort of a big homecoming summer, because Garbage, Madison, yeah. Export. I'm not sure if any of the guys still live here, but they're coming, I think, at the end of the month.
That's cool.
And then also, like, I'm just excited to see the Doobie Brothers are coming next Wednesday. That band, I mean,
that's super cool.
I mean, I had that tape, that Greatest Hits tape in high school. They played it all the time, so I'm excited to see that as well.
That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about movies. I'm trying to think. It seems like I did see one movie since the pandemic, and I can't remember what it was. For me, at least, COVID and the pandemic really changed my movie habits. I'm not about you. Probably, I know part of it is entertainment for your job, but would you rather see a movie in a theater or stream at home?
Oh, a theater, 1,000%. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people are just like you, that they kind of got knocked off their routine with movies and haven't gotten back into it. You know, for me, it is, you know, whether it's a comedy or a horror movie or a big action movie, you know, there's nothing like seeing it in the theater.
Yeah.
And honestly, I find like I have too much at my disposal at home. Like, I can't decide what to watch, so I don't watch anything. You
right.
know, so I need
or watch Seinfeld.
Or I watch Seinfeld, yeah, because I know I'm going to like it, right? Yeah. So I need the appointment of like getting off my butt, going to the theater, and seeing it and being immersed in it.
Big things for our listeners to think about going and seeing on the big screen this summer.
Well, the big one, which I've not seen yet, but I'm going to see it Friday, is the new Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is animated.
Across the Spider-Verse.
And it's the one I think that people, there's always a movie where people who you don't think would talk about that movie would talk about it. And like grown adults I work with are like, that movie is amazing. We got to see it. So
yeah.
That's one. I'm getting excited for a new Indiana Jones coming
Me
in a couple of weeks.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm just, because it's going to be just for physical and life expectancy reasons, it's going to be the last one. And I just hope to goodness he goes out on top.
Yeah, I was not crazy about the one neither was 10 years ago, but the original three are just fantastic. So I'm also hoping it goes out on a strong note. There's another Mission Impossible coming in June or July, excuse me. There's a new Wes Anderson movie, Asteroid City, coming next week. So there's a lot. I think this is the summer that the movie theaters want grown-ups, people like us, to go back to the movies. And so they're really programming stuff like that.
How much, obviously everything that's coming out this summer is already done and in the can. How much do you think the writer strike, the Writer Guild Strike of America, is going to affect movies, say, how far, I guess the proper question is, how far along or in the can are these movies before we see them on the screen?
That's usually a good question. Although some of these movies, you question whether they're even written at all. Yeah. Right. So, but I don't know. I've definitely seen TV shows are being paused because the writer strike is affecting them. Yeah. So movies, I don't know. I think usually at this point, you know, they're probably set for the rest of the year, but if this thing really drags on, it's really going to be.
Do you know anybody in the Writers Guild?
I don't. I was kind of wondering if somebody in Madison is. I'm sure there
is. We're working. I know Chris is working on getting a couple of people from the Guild on, because what I'm hearing from writers on both coasts is like this could go into next year.
Right. And now I think the actors are getting involved as well. Yeah. It's really, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know a lot about the issues, but it seems like a real existential struggle for, you know, with the streamers and stuff. So we'll see what happens. But I think. Yeah, if it starts dragging on, then you'll really see, you know, then you'll really be going back to Seinfeld. Right. There'll be nothing else to watch.
Or God help us, it'll be, you know, reality Joe and Jane shows everywhere.
Right. Although I think those are written too. I mean,
part of them. Right. Did you watch the Tonys last week?
I didn't. I saw you tweeted about it. Yeah.
It was really weird because, you know, the announcer that comes on, you know, in and out of the break, you know, coming up next, Neil Patrick Harris, you know, none of that. It was just because that's written.
Oh, wow.
And so the guild agreed, made this compromise with the Tonys that in order not to protest and all this, that nothing could be written.
That is so interesting, huh?
It was kind of cool, but also kind of weird.
Right.
But, you know, the big winner was Kimberly Akimbo.
Right.
I've only heard about it. It looks fantastic.
Exactly. I've heard about it. It does sound fantastic. I mean, I probably wouldn't come to Madison for 5 years, I guess, not or something right. like that. You know, I don't, but that did sound pretty amazing. Her parade is pretty incredible too. So, yeah.
What's your, as just a person, forget about the reviewer for a second. What's your favorite kind of show to go to? Like if you're just going to say, I want to go have fun.
You mean theater or concert?
Either one.
Oh, golly.
Like what kind of movies or what kind of just live stuff?
I don't know. I like seeing a lot of different things. Like I think
that's cool.
As a movie critic especially, like I like being open to a lot of different things and being like, boy, my favorite reaction is like, boy, I did not think I was going to like that at all, and it was really good, whether you know, like a teen comedy or something like that. So that's my favorite,
just to be surprised
by
it.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. I'm looking forward to the Indiana Jones one as well. I'm a big Harrison Ford fan.
He's
a great actor.
What did you think
of Top Gun Maverick?
Loved it.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I would, again, that was one of like, this is just, it's just not going to be that great. And like an idiot, I didn't go to the theater. I streamed it, and I'm sure it was a million times better on a big screen. But I thought, my gosh, that's a great follow up.
We watched it at home, and I had seen it in theaters, and we watched it again at home, and it held up pretty well on the big on the small screen. But yeah, that was an incredible experience in the movies, and I think that gave movie theaters and studios a lot of confidence. Like, we could come back from this, because that was a movie that everybody seemed to enjoy. And they just did the reboot thing right, you know?
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah.
About a minute left here. We have Rob Thomas from the entertainment editor at the Capital Times. How many people do you have working for you is it just you at the entertainment desk, or do other people support you?
Cap Times has about 2 dozen people. I have 2 reporters. One is, they're both just incredible. Lindsay Christians is our arts writer and our food editor. Our food writing is incredible, and it's one of the most popular things we do. And then Natalie Yar is our local economy. So she writes a lot about labor issues in Madison, which is obviously big right now, and also small business entrepreneurs. So it's a great team.
We appreciate you being here. Check out all the work at Capital Times, or Cap Times, pardon me, CAPCapTimes.com, or pick up your paper version here in the Madison area once a week, wherever you get your favorite papers. Rob Thomas, entertainment editor at Cap Times, thank you. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You're welcome anytime. Stay tuned now. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct is up next. He's going to have a great show. We thank our two producers today. So big of a show, we had to have two. Aaron Zommers and Evan Preston. And above all, we thank you for listening. Oh, and also Trigby Olson, our guest in the first hour, and Pat Kreitlow. Above all, thank you for listening. Remember, whatever you're believing in, don't give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top five on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming
ABC
on the Civic
News,
Media
I'm
app.
I'm Tom Rivers.